Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
During the tribulation, God will set aside 144,000 Jews to be God's witnesses on earth. God does not want anyone to perish, so He mercifully provides witnesses to lead people to salvation so that their souls can be saved, even if their temporal bodies perish. Right now, the church is His witness to the lost. Anyone that we can lead to Christ now can be spared from the horrors that could soon come upon the earth. Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 7 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of verses 1 through 8.
We are in Revelation chapter 7, in the first 8 verses today. Beginning in verse 1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And I heard the number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. The tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephthalim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. The tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed. How many? Good. I just want to make sure he didn't fall asleep. The tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. Now, we left off last week with the opening of the sixth seal. And a natural running narrative would bring us to the seventh seal. But we don't find the opening of the seventh seal until we come to Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. And so there is a divided opinion within the Christian community, the commentators, on exactly where Revelation 7 fits in this chronological order. Some believe that what happens is that after the sixth seal is open, the Lord raises up these angels and the winds of judgment are suspended temporarily until the seventh seal. And then there are others, and I am of this opinion, who believe that what we read in chapter 7 is information that is parenthetical. Information that applies to the Great Tribulation period or the 70th week of Daniel. But I believe that it takes place before the opening of any of the seals. But we'll get to that in a moment. What we're looking at in particular this morning regards the sealing of the 144,000 male Jews from the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Now, I didn't make this known to the first two services because I intended to bring it up in chapter 14. But if you're wise Bereans like they are, you say, well, wait a minute. How do you know that they are male Jews? All you read was 12,000 of each tribe. Well, because when we get into chapter 14, verse 4, it says that these 144,000 are not defiled with women. So we know that they're not this kind of, you know, iffy. They're real male Jews. And we'll get to that when we get to this to the 14th chapter particularly. But what we find here in the entire 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, this parenthetical chapter, is really a revelation of the mercy of God. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. For we see at the end of this chapter that many people, a great multitude from every nation, come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ during the Great Tribulation period, primarily through the preaching of these 144,000 Jewish evangelists. But let's go back to verse 1, and we'll work our way through to verse 8 this morning, where it says, "After these things I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree." And so John sees four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, which in modern technology is equivalent to what a mariner or geologist would call the four quadrants or the four main directions of the compass: north, south, east, west. If you're taking notes, a great reference to the four corners of the earth would also be Isaiah chapter 11, verse 12. And these four angels are holding back the four winds of the earth, evidently winds of judgment, holding back these four winds from doing any harm to the earth, to the sea, or to any of the trees. It's to be observed in Scripture that God often, in times of judgment, will use nature as an instrument through whom he issues judgment. The flood judgment in the days of Noah, for example. We also see in Psalm 148, verse 7 and 8, "Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps." Noted, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. It's very, very interesting how in Scripture, even acts of nature are often ascribed to being instruments through whom God gives a message or sends judgment. And here we have these four angels, created beings, but they have been created by God for a specific purpose. We find in Psalm 103, verse 20, "Bless the Lord, ye angels of his," or "ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word." Angels are of the created order. And these angels, like any angels in Scripture, are bidding the Master's will. They are doing his commandments. They are hearkening unto the voice of his word. And as we work our way through the revelation, make no mistake about it, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ is in complete control over all things that take place during this time period. He is sovereign and in absolute control over all. And so there's the four angels. And then in verse 2 and 3, "And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given," implied given by God, "to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, until we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." And so another angel, separate from the first angels, the first four angels, ascends out of the east. Notice that it is recorded here that this angel, having the seal of the living God. I love that title in Scripture, the living God. In Psalm 96, verses 4 and 5, we read, "The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens." In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 10, verse 10, we read, "But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath, the earth shall tremble. The nations shall not be able to abide his indignation." The earth shall tremble. How about that earthquake last week, huh? Isn't it amazing? I was sitting in my office and I was reading the section that we were covering last week about the earth trembling. I'm sitting in my office and the building's going like this. Oh. My first reaction was, sorry, Lord, whatever. And shook the whole building. Praise God. Notice that in these verses that we read, in Psalm 96 and in Jeremiah 10, that the gods of the nations are the figment of the imagination of men. And thus we can conclude that any god except the triune God as he is revealed in Scripture is a false god and unable to save your soul. Another thing that we can conclude is that the worship of any god other than the triune God as revealed in Scripture is the sin of idolatry. And yet here is the tremendous love of the Father. For after Jesus accomplished the work of atonement, when he was ascending up, he said to the men there on that mountain to go into all the world and preach the gospel that bears his name to every creature and in every nation. That's because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The living God, that can be translated the God who gives life or the life-giving God. You see, every one of us in this sanctuary this morning have been given life as a creature. This is the life that God has given to us. But for those of us who are born again, who have been regenerated by the Spirit of God, we have also been given eternal life. He is the living God, the true God, the one who gives to those who trust in his Son eternal life. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, we read, therefore, we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in, notice, the living God. There's that phrase again. Who is the Savior of all men, especially or particularly those that believe. And even though Jesus is sufficient to be the Savior of all men, he is particularly the Savior of those who believe. He is the one who quickens us. He is the one who gives us life in our soul. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. This speaks of the regeneration that takes place when a person trusts in Jesus Christ. The living God. The living God. It is only in the living God that a thirsty soul can find satisfaction. We read in Psalm 42, verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Ever find yourself at those times when you're so thirsty and you're just longing for a glass of cold water or tea or something like that? May our souls be thirsty for the living God. May there be such a thirst in our soul for the living God that would continue to drive us to him and closer to him. Now, because of the command given to the four angels to hurt not the earth, the sea and the trees, until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads, it would appear to me that the sealing of the 144,000 took place before the seal judgments were opened, but after the rapture of the church. Because as we went through the opening of the seal judgments in the sixth chapter, we found that the earth was severely hurt. And so if these angels are commanded to hurt not the earth, it would appear that what we're reading is parenthetical or information that pertains to the 70-week period, but perhaps not in chronological order. And I must tell you that I believe that the servants of God spoken of here, which are also referred to as the 144,000, are the nation of Israel, male Jews from the nation of Israel, and not the church. In the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, as well as Daniel, chapter 9, verses 24 through 27, we read the deep significance in Bible prophecy and how it relates to the future of Israel. And we will develop that theme as we continue. But let's speak for the rest of our time this morning about the seal on the forehead. This seal, it's very important, very significant. And the seal in the forehead of those who are the Lord's servants takes us back to a picture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 9. You don't need to turn there, but if you want to write it down in your notes, Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. For in that chapter, we read about a man that was clothed with linen, carries this writer's inkhorn, and is ordered by God to go through the city, and in Ezekiel 9:4, set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And then in the 6th verse, others were then ordered to go through the city and slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom the mark is. And so this mark in Ezekiel chapter 9 was a visible physical mark. And that is an Old Testament type or picture of what we read here in Revelation chapter 7. It is a visible mark that is evident. We know in Scripture that the greatest imitator of God is the devil. Did you know that? He's the greatest imitator. He's the greatest imposter. That's one of the under kind of like meanings of the word antichrist, replacement of, substitute of. And when it comes to this mark, as we read through the book of Revelation, we're going to get to a period where in the 13th chapter, the antichrist is going to require all of his followers to receive what? A mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And so he's going to seek to do what God does, but to the subjects in his kingdom. These 144,000, we find, are men who are sealed. They are divinely chosen, and they are divinely appointed by God for a specific time and for a specific purpose. We need to understand that, according to the Scripture, our God doesn't do anything randomly. He does everything with precision. God doesn't have plan A and then plan oops in case plan A fails. We read it as such. In the counsels of God, there is one plan, and that plan is always played out, carried out. And here, these 144,000 come on the scene, divinely appointed, divinely chosen for a specific time, for a specific purpose. And they are sealed by these angels. Now, we know that the seal of Eastern kings was used to validate laws or decrees. If a new law was put into effect, they would sign it and seal it with their signet ring. It was law. We also know that in the day-to-day affairs of people in the Middle East, deeds and public documents were sealed to testify their validity, to testify the proof of ownership. That belongs to me. It has that particular seal on it. Now, when it comes to the 144,000 that we read about here in Revelation 7, they were sealed for three reasons, primarily. If you're taking notes, they were sealed for service, they were sealed for protection, and they were sealed for ownership or for identity. Service, protection, ownership, or identity. They're sealed with the seal of the living God for service, because as servants of the living God, they are the ones that will proclaim the message of salvation through the great tribulation period. This select group, these 144,000, are going to be the primary means of spreading the gospel during the great tribulation period and fulfill the prophecy found in Matthew 24:14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So obviously, this has never happened yet. This will happen. Sealed for service. Sealed for protection. Just like we read in Ezekiel chapter 9. For we read in Revelation chapter 9, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Who is the them mentioned of in Revelation chapter 9? When we get there, during the Great Tribulation period, there are going to be scorpion-like locusts ascending out of the bottomless pit who will bite human beings with this poisonous thing, who will be crying to die but will not be able to die for 5 months. Now, what surprises me is that great, great brothers and sisters say, do you really believe, Pastor Ray, that there are going to be scorpion-like locusts coming up out of the bottomless pit and crawling all over the face of the earth? I say, yes. They say, why? I say, because that's what the Bible says. It's not hard to understand. It's simply hard to believe. But notice that these locusts cannot hurt or harm the 144,000 because they are protected by the seal of God. They're sealed with the seal of the living God because, lastly, I like this, because they belong to Him. I like that. They are God's exclusive personal possession. It's as if God is saying, these 144,000 belong to me. By the way, the 144,000 sealed at the beginning of the tribulation appear at the end of the tribulation. Not one of the 144,000 are lost. That is eternal security. But let's make this a little bit more personal today. Let's look at the seal of the living God and as it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ, the seal of the living God and as it applies to His divinely appointed apostles, and the seal of the living God and as it applies to you and me as believers. First of all, the seal of the living God and how it applies to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, after performing the miracle of the multiplying the loaves and the fishes, Jesus says to the multitudes, notice the words, labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. Notice, for Him hath God the Father sealed. What does that mean? Well, this seal referred to here reveals that Jesus is the only one, let me repeat, the only one with divine authority to provide for and give to lost mankind the gift of eternal life. This seal is the seal of His divine authority. There is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. God the Father has sealed Him, no other, to be the one who gives eternal life. And in the eternal counsels of God the Father, He has sealed, He has commissioned, He has designated, He has appointed the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man, the incarnate Word, to be the giver of everlasting life to man. And that's because eternal life is not a reward. It's not a work. It's not something that we earn. It is a gift that is given to us by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. J.C. Ryle, in his commentary on the Gospel of John, says, this passage, John 6:27, is one of the widest and most general offers to unconverted sinners in Scripture. Jesus says, labor not for the meat which perishes, but labor for the meat which I will give to those who trust in me.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.